Okay, so many of you know that before I became the senior pastor of the church, I actually did worship. I did music. I did Brian's job. I did that for like 20 years. You're looking at me and you're thinking, how can that be? He looks so young. Yeah, you're laughing because you're like, that's a joke, because he looks like he would have done this for 40 or maybe 50 years. But here's the thing. I mean, I loved worship. I gave my whole life to it. I mean, I did all sorts of things. I built big teams, raised up worship leaders, picked songs. I wrote some songs, actually. And I did it all because I loved worship so much. I was like, anybody ever heard this term before? Worship junkie? Anyone? No? Just me? Okay. Like, in other words, when anytime worship would happen, I just would want to be there. I would be at everything. Just like try, if there was singing, I'd be like, if there wasn't singing at, or wasn't worship at like a gathering, I'd be like, why isn't there worship? And the reason why I loved it so much is not because it was cool, because it was deeply uncool back then. I don't know if you remember this or not, but back in the 90s, there was no such thing as like really contemporary worship. I mean, it was just happening in a few rebel churches. You know, and then I don't know if you remember this or recall this at all, but there used to be what churches would, or what we would call in the church circles, worship wars. Do you guys remember that at all? No, none of you do? Oh, you've been spared. But just like there'd be worship wars, there'd be like the traditional versus blended versus contemporary, and everybody would be like, you know, our way is better. And so we would fight about that. And I remember actually leading worship at a church where when we put the drums on the stage, they said, we can't, you know, God can't hear our voices over the drums. So, and I was like, that's strange. That seems really strange to me. But we would war about it. Our preferences were so strong. And I think part of the reason why our preferences were strong was not about music. And see, like something, I discovered something would happen during when we would sing. I would discover that it would be like we would feel tears, but not the sad kind, or we'd feel joy, or we'd see people getting healed even, people coming face to face with the love of God. I mean, like I knew people who actually gave their lives to God or to Christ for the first time when they were singing. And it was like, singing was powerful. It was lovely. It had wings. It had weight. It had depth. And I never knew what it really was, but I was chasing after it. I went to a high powered academic institution, and like my college years, I just remember I would get like overhead slides ready. That was the best part of my week. You guys remember overhead slides? No? None of you? Oh. I think they still have, Josh, do they still have overhead slides at Trinity? You ever use them every day? That's part of your pedagogy, isn't it? Overhead slides. I remember I took a Christian education class as a master's student at seminary at Trinity, and we called it Overhead Slides 101 or something like that. We'd stick the overhead slides up there, you know. For those of you who don't, we have all these fancy screens now, but we used to have these little projectors that we put on these little carts that you'd have to cart in and go, make sure the projector's there, so we get the carts, and then you'd slap this piece of translucent plastic on top with words for the songs. And sometimes what we would do is we thought we were really fancy. We'd actually put the chords on top of the... Anyway, it was a very dark time. It was a very dark time. But here's the thing. I mean, like, I loved worship so much because there's something would happen during worship. And the funny thing about it is there was no formula. I thought, oh, man, these four songs were great last week. Well, we'll just do those four songs again the next week, and it would bomb. And you're like, well, what's going on? And so toward the end of my college tenure, I came actually to this church, and I discovered that it happened here, that indescribable it, that power that happened during worship. I discovered that it happened every week. I mean, people were nuts here, I thought. Because I'm a Korean. I'm Asian. I'm reserved. And then I came to this church, and I was like, wow, people are wild and crazy for God, you know? But I just noticed that every time I came, there would be something happening in worship. And it felt like that weight. It felt like that glory. It felt like something was going on. And, man, I was so hungry for it. So I went to everything I could. I went to conferences. I went to nights of worship. We had evening services at the Methodist Church. How many of you remember the Methodist Church evening services? How many of you remember? Yes. Yeah, Garrett. Ellison's remember, right? That church always felt like it was just about to fall apart. But, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. The building, I mean. not the actual church, the building. So I drive up for the evening services all the time. I was in Hyde Park at the time, and I would always drive up, and I'd be like, man, I'm just so hungry for it. And it wasn't until, like, the patient teaching of Steve Nicholson and Bill Hanawalt that I discovered what it actually was. It wasn't an it. It was actually a who. It was the Holy Spirit. I mean, I wonder if you're here today, and I wonder if you're, like, hungry like I was back then, or like I still am. I wonder if you've wondered if there's more to the Christian life. I wonder if you wondered if maybe your Christianity is a little safe. And I wonder if you are here and you're longing for more. I wonder if you're sitting here and you're thinking there must be more than this. Well, good news, the Spirit is waiting for you. And as Jesus says, the Spirit is given without limit, which is why we're doing this series on the Holy Spirit. We believe that our faith isn't just a set of propositions. It's not just a bunch of creeds. It's not just a bunch of propositions about who God is. It's actually a living thing. It actually is an experience. It's actually supposed to subsume, compel all our whole lives, not just our heads, but our hearts too. You see, we believe that our lives with God should burst with life and color. And we believe that that happens because of the Holy Spirit. And so as we begin our series on the Holy Spirit, this is an introduction. And so we just want to answer a few questions today. We want to answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? We want to answer the question, why it is that it's important for us to know him and welcome him in every part of our lives. And we also want to say that maybe come Holy Spirit is maybe one of the most important prayers that you can pray. And so if you're new with us and if you're kind of like, okay, well, I kind of like this church, and now I'm finding out it's one of those churches. You know, like it's like a weird church that, like, you know, wants to welcome the Holy Spirit. It's like charismatic. Will we be handling snakes? You know, like, I mean, if you're just like wondering, like, what are we all about? We just want to put your minds at rest and at ease and say, this is maybe the first church that I was at that actually welcomed the entire triune God to be present and primary in its midst, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what we want to do is, this will be a little bit of a different kind of message. We want to answer these two questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why is it important that we know him? Why is come Holy Spirit maybe one of the most important prayers that we can pray? And if you've been here for a while, you know that what we normally do is we open up the scriptures and we say, like, oh, here's a passage, and we're gonna eat from this passage as if it was like one of the richest of meals. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to be all over the Bible. The Spirit is everywhere all throughout scriptures. And so, I mean, it's actually kind of hard to find one set of verses. So we want to tell the story of the Holy Spirit through three episodes in the scriptures. And we're going to do what theologians talk about as like discovering who the Spirit is by collecting and harmonizing the entire Bible. This exercise is called systematic theology. So this is kind of like a systematically theological message. I guess nobody really cares about that, really. I don't, probably, except for maybe a few of you, and a few of you are like, why are you talking about that? So I'll move on. All right. So who is the Holy Spirit? Why is it important that we know him? And why is come Holy Spirit one of the most important prayers that we can pray? And so what we're going to do is tell the story of the Holy Spirit through three episodes. And without further ado, let's dive in. First episode, creation. Creation. So, by the way, all of these passages will be up on screen. If you're listening at home, you're probably much warmer than the rest of us. And they'll be put up on the screens for you. We're just going to look at three different episodes from the Bible about the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to look at some other passages too. And I'm going to do my level best to kind of do this as quickly as possible. And you're probably going to leave here and think, well, that was good. We got some of it, but we didn't get all of it. Well, yeah, that's kind of the point. So first episode, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This is the first episode in which we are introduced to the Spirit of God, or as the book of Hebrews calls him, the eternal Spirit, the pre-existing before creation Spirit. He was there at the beginning of creation. This probably wouldn't surprise you to learn that that at the beginning of the church, when the church was first established, they had a lot of confusion about who the Holy Spirit was and who Jesus was. In fact, if you read any early church literature, any early church fathers, you'll find them like talking a lot about, well, who is Jesus actually? Is he the Son of God, or is he just another like a form of God? Is he a man, or is he God? Well, it's just like a lot of this is shrouded in mystery, the kind of good kind of mystery, the ineffable kind, the kind that like is that teaches us that God is actually bigger than we are, right? You know, so they had a lot of confusion about it. It took probably about, I mean, I think we're still kind of in this spot, but if you read anything like, say, Basil on the Holy Spirit or Augustine on the Holy Spirit, on the Trinity, you'll find that they're working out their theology. It's kind of funny, we come to church and we're like, man, church is a bunch of things that you believe, whereas I think the early church would say, well, it is kind of that, but man, church is like an all-encompassing experience. It takes up my whole life. And so it was the experience that almost came first before the cognition or before they actually knew what they believed, and which is sort of interesting, isn't it? The thing that definitively happened, though, in that first 300 or 400 years is they wrote creeds. Remember the Apostles' Creed? We always recite that together before or after the baptismal candidates take their vows. Well, the Nicene Creed establishes the basic tenets of the Trinity. It talks about like the fact that Christ is God, like sort of like sets all these things up. And what we learn is we learn over the first 300 or 400, 600 years or so, we learn that they definitively concluded that the Spirit was a person and the Spirit was God. And so the three major tenets of the nature of our triune God, the Trinity, we could do a whole series of messages on this. I'll leave it for Professor Jip to do that later for us. but the three major tenets of the Trinity go like this. First, God is one. Second, God eternally exists. The one God eternally exists in three separate persons. And the third tenet is each member is fully God. So God is one, God eternally exists in three separate persons, each member is fully God. And if you look carefully at those three statements, what you'll discover is that you can't totally explain it. So how is he one, but how does he also exist eternally in three separate persons? And how is each member fully God? How does that all of that work together? Well, it's a mystery. Mystery of the most beautiful kind. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the reasons why I love the Vineyard, by the way, is it's maybe the first church that I've ever been to that is utterly committed to all three members of the Trinity. Amen. I was a Father, Son, and Holy Bible guy. Anybody grew up like that? That was my Trinity, Father, Son, and Bible. And somewhere the Spirit was out there. But man, I love that the Vineyard would say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here's the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters, powerful in the giving of life from the very beginning. So the creational intention of God is enacted by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And this life-giving Spirit, how many of you know it's in you and me? Which is why it is so important that we know the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who hovered over the waters is actually hovering over your life. That same life-giving, creational power that caused all of life to bloom is in you. Amen. You are regenerated. You're brought to life. You're born again in God through who? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. In him, we are born again. He saved us, as Titus tells us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And that's not all. You're not just born again, but you will be raised again If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. I mean, the spirit of God, the eternal spirit, as he hovered over the waters, it's in us. And I would say that all of us, don't we need the resurrecting, life-giving power of the Spirit in us? How many of you would say, I'll take a pass on that? No, we want that, don't we? He will come and give that life to us. That's why we pray, come Holy Spirit. Why? Part of the reason why we're praying, come Holy Spirit, is like, I want more of that life. You know, one of my friends who's a doctor, I remember a story about him leaning over a young mother who had just died on the operating table. I mean, he felt the Spirit of God lead him to pray over this woman, breathe. And so what happened when he did? He leaned over, he whispered the word breathe, and the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit filled her, and she sat up. That's the Spirit in you. And I don't know about you, but I have hundreds of moments every day that actually feel pretty dead and dusty. Why not in those moments actually just, man, look, when I feel kind of like that tiredness, that exhaustion that life brings me, why not just say, Spirit of God who hovered over the waters, would you come and fill me right now? I mean, remember, like, Steve, our founding pastor, and Adam and I were praying together on a Monday night, and I just remember, it was the last thing that I really wanted to do. I mean, I know I'm a pastor. I should think, well, I'm going to get to pray for an hour with some of my dear colleagues and friends, and I was just thinking, I really don't want to do this. I'm tired. I mean, it's probably a good thing that a pastor prays, right? But here I am like thinking, man, I prayed this morning. I don't know. Well, I guess I'll do it because I promised that I would. And so then we went and we prayed. And wouldn't you know, life came into my body. I mean, I remember texting Steve afterward and saying, man, I feel wind in my sails. And that's the Spirit. I mean, like, Have you ever felt that? I mean, have you felt in life like, oh, I feel dead and I feel dusty. I just feel dry. I feel exhausted. I feel like my heart is actually hollow. Well, why not pray, come Holy Spirit? When you pray, come Holy Spirit, you're saying, give me some of that life. That's the first episode. The second episode, baptism of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. So remember the three main ideas or the three tenets of the Trinity. Could we put that back up, please, Ben or Lucas? God is one. God eternally exists in three persons, and each is fully God. It's coming. Or maybe it's not. Is it coming? Is it up there? Okay. Well, I have these confidence monitors. That's what they call them, by the way, that are like here. So I could see those monitors, and sometimes... Yeah, there we go. Sometimes that shows what's on the big screens. Sometimes it doesn't. So not very confidence-inducing. But anyway, God is one. God eternally exists in three separate persons. Each member is fully God. And the reason why we mentioned this is because this episode, I mean, lots of systematic theologies actually reference this episode and say, here are all three persons together in one space. So you've got God the Father, voice coming from heaven. You've got the Spirit and you've got the Son. Three separate persons. And I absolutely love this remarkable episode of Jesus' life. Why do I love it? Because here's the Father intoning for all to hear the identity of the Son, declaring his love for him, but that's not all he does. He doesn't just proclaim it. The Spirit comes to punctuate it. The favor, the love is actually a person descending upon the Son. How many of you know that the favor of God, the love of God comes to you through the Spirit? So the love of God comes to us through the Spirit of God. That's why the Apostle Paul prays for us. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is a prayer that I pray for every one of you every day. I pray it. Because here's the thing. Here's what Paul recognizes that I think is really, really important. Many of us live our lives knowing that God loves us, but not experiencing it in our hearts. How many of you have that experience? How many, does that sound familiar to you? Here's Paul saying, I get it. That's part of what it means to be human. That's part of what it means to be fallen. Part of what it means to be fallen is that your head and your heart are not always connected. And so here's the Apostle Paul praying that Christ would dwell in our hearts, right? He's saying, I want Christ to dwell in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, like, we know that Christ is in us. I mean, in fact, this letter is written to the church in Ephesus. So this is not to non-Christians. This is actually to Christians. And so he's praying for Christians that they would have an experience of the love of God in their hearts. Experience, not just knowledge, but experience. Like a lot of them know that they are loved by God. But Paul is saying, come Holy Spirit so that we might experience it. And part of what Paul, I think, is saying is part of what Paul is saying is in order for that to happen, we need the power of the Spirit. I lived for more than 40 years of my life before I knew in my heart that God loved me. And of course, I knew it in my head, but something got in the way. Man, I hardly needed to say it to you, but we live in an utter crisis of self-hatred. I mean, anxiety on the rise. Instagram is destroying the fragile esteem of our teens. Well, what do we need? We need the Spirit of God. Because love can conquer hate. Love can drive out fear. Love can make us whole. And how does that all happen? Well, I submit to you that maybe it happens when we pray the prayer, come Holy Spirit. When we pray the prayer, come Holy Spirit, so we can say, come make the love of God known to me, not just in my head, but also in my heart. Man, what an important prayer, don't you think? So finally, the third episode is Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, Acts chapter 2, in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I mean, this episode is really familiar. We preach on this passage quite a bit. This is maybe what most of us know about the Spirit. The Spirit comes and gives us power, right? The Spirit comes, rests on the people of God to give them tongues to speak in other languages. We're going to spend some time talking about that this series, by the way. And I think that one of the things that this episode shows us is that the Spirit is a person. He decides what gifts rest on people. The Spirit actually has a personality. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So what does that mean? Well, that means this. The Spirit is not a force. He's not like the force. But I think, you know, like a lot of times, I mean, I've heard people walk out of Star Wars and go, man, that's just like the Spirit of God. I'm like, you couldn't be more wrong. You know, the Spirit is not like Star Wars, an impersonal embodied force we need to grab onto, close our eyes. Oh, man, like I need to channel it. I need to bring balance to the force, which never made sense to me. So we need more evil so we can bring more balance to it. I'm like, whoa, what? That doesn't make any sense at all. And then the whole thing that ended up happening in episode 8 and 9 and like all that stuff. I don't know if you're a fan of 8 and 9. I just want you to know that it's one of my greatest disappointments to have watched those movies. The Spirit is not a force. I want you to know that Star Wars is doing a lot of theology. It's doing a lot of philosophy, you know, and it's antithetical to what we believe. The Spirit is a person. The Spirit decides what gifts rests on us. The Spirit has a will. The Spirit can be grieved. The Spirit can be angered. The Spirit has desire to glorify the Son and glorify the Father. I think that one of the main reasons why we mistake the Spirit for a force is because the Spirit gives us power, but it's a person giving us power. It's not an impersonal force, which is why, like, when I tried my formula back in the day when I was leading worship and I was trying to, like, man, if I do the same exact songs the next week, it's going to be just as powerful as it was this week. Why that never happened is because the Spirit is a person. You know, it's not like this thing that I can bottle up and package and sell. This is why, by the way, I just want to say, though, that I do think that one of the Spirit's joys and desires is to fill us with power. And as he fills us with the miraculous power of God, we proclaim the rule in favor of the kingdom of God. That's how it happens. And in fact, Paul actually says that it's by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God that is the way that he speaks and proclaims the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And so anytime a prophecy is given, anytime a person is healed, anytime a demon is cast out, anytime a person is set free, anytime oppression ends, anytime there's a miracle, well, how does that happen? Well, it happens through the power of the Spirit of God. So when we say, come, Holy Spirit, partly what we're saying is that, come, bring the kingdom of God among us. Bring signs and wonders. Here's one thing that I know. This is one thing that one of my friends, I think, really helpfully says. It's like when your eschatology is over-realized, you set people up for disappointment. But when it's under-realized, people get real hungry, real thirsty. So in other words, when there is the active work of the person of the Holy Spirit in our midst, it sates some of that hunger and gives us a foretaste for what is to come. And so, man, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. As one theologian puts it, the Spirit is the one by whom we feel God's presence within, and our lives are given a special tangibility. I think that this theologian might have been from Minnesota. So tangibility feels a little bit like an understatement, doesn't it? But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Nobody's laughing. So, I mean, I love people from Minnesota. I don't know why I said that. Also, the Spirit's work, this theologian also says the Spirit's work is more prominent than the other members of the Trinity in this particular present age. So the Spirit is one who we interface with. The Spirit is one, the one who is in us and who is with us. And so when we're saying yes to God, what are we saying? We're saying, man, yes to the Spirit. Yes to the Spirit. This, by the way, this signs and wonders is going to be a major theme of our series. The empowering Spirit who gives us gifts to bring the kingdom of God through signs and wonders. We're going to talk about that Spirit over the next 6 to 7 weeks. Of course, that's not all that the Spirit does. We'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Chris Gow will come back. We'll talk about how the Spirit makes us holy. But we're also going to talk about power. We're going to talk about how the Spirit comes in power, and that power is like the river of God's love sweeping us away in its current. The way the kingdom comes right now is through the Spirit of God. And I'd be remiss to mention if I didn't mention, by the way, that the Spirit is a Spirit. The signs and wonders are not just prophecy. They're not just the raising of the dead. They're not just casting out of demons. The Spirit is a Spirit of justice. That's part of how the power happens. Did you know that the awakening that birthed the revivalism of the early 1900s at Azusa Street, did you know that happened through a black holiness pastor? How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that? I mean, did you know that the Spirit was especially active, and at work in those who are oppressed or in need? The poor and the socioeconomically marginalized were the communities that always had lots of activity in the Holy Spirit. Not always, but you could find it. The Spirit lifts up the lowly. It's the work of the Spirit to bring the justice of God. I believe it's the Spirit of God who did not let us look away when George Floyd was murdered. And I think it's the Spirit of God who also empowers us to stand and to not be silent, and to work and agitate for the kingdom of God, not just in signs and wonders, but also in every hall of power. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you fill City Hall of Chicago with your power? And would you change hearts? Would you change hearts? And would you bring your justice? That's what the Spirit can do. And so when we say, come, Holy Spirit, why wouldn't you pray, come, Holy Spirit? Why wouldn't you pray it all the time? Why wouldn't you pray, come, Holy Spirit, all the time? Why wouldn't that be the first thing that comes off of your lips and the last thing that comes off your lips when you go to bed? Why wouldn't it be something that you pray every moment of the day? The Lord's Prayer, come, Holy Spirit. The Lord's Prayer, come, Holy Spirit. You know, our world, it's full of trouble, isn't it? But the remedy is not just another formula, not just another technique. It's a person, and his name is the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit. When we pray, come, Holy Spirit, we are praying, come, Holy Spirit, and give us the resurrection life that we need. When we pray, come, Holy Spirit, we're saying, come, Holy Spirit, make the love of God known, not just to our heads, but also to our hearts. When we pray, come, Holy Spirit, we're praying, fill us with your power so that we can bear witness to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Who is pleased to set us free? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And oh, by the way, some of you more theological types are wondering why we say, come, Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe some of you aren't thinking that. But I know that was always like a tension for me because I went to Trinity. I went to this like really like great, you know, a theological institution, and it was come Holy Spirit. Well, didn't Jesus say that the Spirit will be in us? Doesn't the Apostle Paul tell us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, of course he does. The Spirit is in us, yes. The Spirit empowers us, yes. The Spirit teaches our hearts that we are loved, yes. The Spirit gives us life. He regenerates us, yes. But he's not constrained to my body. The Spirit can come in power to do incredible works, like when the Spirit descended on the apostles at Pentecost. The Spirit can be in the room, living with us, not just being in us. And why would we say that the Spirit could be constrained to one particular small place anyway? Friends, the Spirit can come when we ask him. So come, Holy Spirit. Could we do that for a moment? Could we just pray that prayer together? Not as a repudiation or whatever, but just as like an affirmation of just the wondrous, the beautiful truth that we have a triune God who's pleased to set us free. Maybe we hold our hands out for a moment and pray, come, Holy Spirit. Just pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Edie, could you come on up? Could you come on up? Over the next 6 to 7 weeks or so, we are going to, after every one of our messages, we're going to leave time for us to respond. Some of you who've been here for a while, you're like, well, the application always seems to be the Holy Spirit. Rightly so. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Spirit does so much for us. And so I want to end this message by doing something that we'll do over this entire series. I want to end with invitation. Three invitations. We'll have prayer teams over here. David, if you could turn on the light for the prayer area. Yeah. So here's the thing. There are three things that we talked about today, three invitations, and I just want to invite you to get up out of your chair and come to this corner of the room to get some prayer. First invitation, if you are feeling some death in your life and you need the life-giving power of the Spirit, would you come to that corner of the room? Just stand up and come right now. You know, and actually, like, well, let's close our eyes for a moment. That way that if a person comes and stands up, they don't feel like they're super exposed. Just close your eyes for a moment. If you're feeling some death in your life and you want the life-giving power of the Spirit, would you come over to this corner and get some prayer? Secondly, if you are feeling disconnected from the love of God and you need the Spirit of God to come help you know the love of God in your heart, not just in your head, Would you stand up and come over to the side? And finally, if you are feeling like, man, I need to be filled with fresh power from the Spirit of God. I need to be empowered to bear witness to the gospel. Would you come stand up and come and get some prayer? We'll stay here for a few moments. Yeah, some of you are standing up, coming over, getting some prayer. It's wonderful. Just gonna take some time. Also, just a couple pictures from one of our people who really hears from the Lord. If you've got a skin infection and you'd like some prayer, would you come up and receive some prayer? Also, if you've got muffled hearing in your right ear, if that's something that you've been struggling with for a bit, would you come up and get some prayer too? I'd love to pray for you. Yeah, just make your way to that corner of the room and get some prayer, yeah. Of us, why don't we all stand? Can we stand as we close? I just want to remind you, we're going to be doing this. We'll have a conference on the work and the person, the work of the Holy Spirit this coming weekend. We'd love for you to come. Don't let money stand in the way. We'd love for you to be with us, all right? Can we hold our hands out? Yeah, let's hold our hands out. Would you join me in praying, come Holy Spirit? Let's just all vocalize that together. Come Holy Spirit. Let me pray that again. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit and fill us with your power. Fill us with the knowledge in our hearts of the love of God. And fill us with your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll see you next week. Go out and be the church.